Thank you, Michael.
That's not Michael.
Yeah, he got his hair cut. He said he lost 7 pounds. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Now beginning along around 6:47 this morning, we had some really exciting news. We really did. We were celebrating the glorious news that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was risen from the grave. And even in death, coming during Saturday, and Pastor Bill was sharing that with us, there was an excitement because we know that He is risen. It's news that should cause rejoicing. I mean, faces that I'm looking at don't look real happy. I mean, this is exciting news that gives us hope today. Yes. It should fill our hearts with joy. Jesus is alive. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Good. So let's look at the events that took place that early Sunday morning. And here again, the message of the resurrection. As the angel of the Lord spoke to those women. Now, we have heard this over and over. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know what I'm about to preach about. It's about the Lord Jesus rising from the dead. Hallelujah for that. All right, let's begin. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this, your word. I just pray that you would enlighten our hearts and that we would apply it in our lives. We're thankful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, here we go. At the dawn of the first day of the week, 3 days following the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, some of the women who had trusted him, some of the women who followed him, who supported him, who had been faithful to him, came to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. They expected to find him still in the tomb. They expected to find the stone still rolled in front, and they were musing, how in the world are we going to accomplish this? They knew they were being guarded by Roman soldiers. The folks, they were in for the surprise of their lives, right? Rather than finding the dead body of Jesus, they heard the news that energized and encouraged their hearts. They heard the news that shook the earth to its very core. In fact, it's news that still echoes through all time and all of eternity. And as the women approached the tomb that day, the earth shook. The angel appeared, and he rolled the stone from the mouth of the tomb. By the way, he didn't roll the stone out to let Jesus out, did he? No. He rolled the stone away so we could see that Jesus was no longer there. Hallelujah for that. The soldiers were on the ground. They had passed out from fear. The women approached and the angel answered all their questions before they even had the ability to ask one question. And the angel said to him in essence, be calm. Calm down. Verse 5 says, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. And here he comes, folks. He is not here. He has risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. The angel said, stay calm. Have faith. Don't be troubled. Don't be anxious. Folks, that's a great thought, isn't it? I mean, that really should be able to apply in our lives because, folks, we live in desperate times. We really do. Physically, COVID and all its unintended consequences, things that are happening. You're wearing a mask and they say that that's good for you. Okay, and then they tell you that you have COPD because you wore your mask. I mean, it's just crazy the way things are going. Emotionally, our way of life is being changed. It's being challenged. We have now what's called a cancel culture. I call it a cancer culture, but nevertheless, that's just me. We have the woke generation. I mean, I was reading about how bad it's getting. They're going to cancel shampoo because bald people might be offended. What's up with that? Don't get me started on this stuff, folks. This is not the time for that. Listen, let me share something with you. I am not ashamed of who I am. I'm not. God determined my gender. I'm a male. You're either a male or you're female. That's the list.
Amen.
There's none other, all right? God determined my race. I'm Caucasian. God determined my place of birth here in the United States of America. So if you've got a problem with that, take it up with God. He's the one that did it, right? That's what he's here for. He put us here. Spiritually, we're told that God's irrelevant nowadays. We have a congressman who says God has no place in politics. What? That's the reason we're in the mess we're in.
Amen.
We have rappers who openly praise Satan. Wait a minute, I told you not to get me started on this stuff, folks. You know, it's really hard to stay focused on the will of God with everything that's chaotic around us. Paul said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we can experience calm, and we can experience peace, and we can experience rest through any situation we face because of the resurrection. You say, Pastor, why because of the resurrection? Well, his resurrection from the dead proves that God is sovereign and that he is in absolute control.
Amen.
If he can raise his son from the dead, and he did, then there's nothing our God can't do. You see, a God that powerful knows how to give peace to his children in spite of any circumstance. Doesn't matter. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and thanksgiving and supplication, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So the angel said, be calm. He also said, be courageous. Verse 6 says, he's not here. He's risen, as he said. See, the message of the resurrection should give us courage, because death was defeated for all who believed in the Lord Jesus. We heard about that, Pastor Bill shared with us this morning, how Jesus went into Hades, went in to get the prisoners and bring them, the captives, and he set them free.
Amen.
Paul said, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We Amen. Have victory in Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Death is no longer our enemy, folks. If you're a Christian, death isn't your enemy, it's your friend. David said in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Wow. It should give us courage, because he lives and he's seated at the right hand of God praying on our behalf. Folks, the empty tomb should inspire awesome courage for each one of us. So the angel said, be calm. He said, be courageous. He also said, be confident. The command was, fear not. You know, that's the most often repeated command in the Bible. Fear not. We have confidence because Jesus always, let me put it another way, always Amen. Keeps his word. His promises are real. His promises are certain. And his words are true. So we can count on him, that he's going to do what he says he was going to do. Every promise he has made to us, he can and will keep. Let me give you a few. Philippians 4:19 says he'll meet our needs. 1 Peter 1:5 says he's going to keep us safe. Jesus said in John 14:1-3 that he's going to provide a home for us in heaven. Wow! I'm looking forward to that. The closer I get to it, the more excited I get. I'm glad I didn't hear any amens. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that he's going to come back and take us to himself one day. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. then we who are alive and remain, I think that's going to be us. It's going to be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Woo! Amen. I'm looking for that.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, he will walk with us every step of the way. Folks, if you're a Christian this morning, you're never alone.
Amen.
The Lord is always with you. And Peter said that the resurrection of the Lord gives us a living hope, an excited hope, a joyful hope. So the angel said, be calm. He said, be courageous. He said, be confident. And then he gave a challenge. He said, he isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come, see where the body was lying. It was a challenge to examine. Come see the place where the Lord lay. That invitation is something that it continues today. His body's no longer in the tomb, no longer lies where it was, and that's such a powerful argument. You know, it's interesting to know that there was no search ever made of his body, although the officials claimed it had been stolen. There is never any arrests made of the disciples, although they were the prime suspects, but they were never arrested. Because if you examine the claims of the resurrection, there's no other explanation other than Jesus did just as he promised he would. He said in John 10:18, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it again. This command I received from my Father. He rose from the dead in victory. He rose from the dead in glory. He rose from the dead in power. And then the angel continues, come see where he was lying. That word see means to know by observation. Jesus not only wants you to believe in his resurrection, he wants you to know him and experience his resurrection personally. You know, it's interesting. A recent survey showed that this is staggering as far as I'm concerned. 70% of Americans say that they believe in the resurrection of Jesus. 70%! That doesn't mean 70% know that he was raised from the dead. There's a totally different disconnect here. The resurrected Christ wants us to know him by observation. It's not enough to know the facts. We need to experience the Lord. We live in a generation that is just exploding with knowledge. Scientists tell us that our knowledge doubles every 6 months. Wow. I guess I was left behind there because I'm a little behind the curve in that one. But yet the more we learn, the more we move away from the Lord. I mean, we've accumulated so much advanced knowledge that the story of the crucifixion and the story of the resurrection seem too simple and old-fashioned to believe. But it's the only message that will save a lost person. It's the only one. Paul said in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Amen.
So I guess the question is, have you met the risen Lord? Listen, if your knowledge of Jesus begins with a baby in a manger and ends up with a bunny and an egg, you've missed a whole lot in between there, folks. And the same message of invitation that was extended by that angel still stands today. The Lord died for us. He rose again for us. And if we will come to him, he will save us. Verse 7 says, and the angel says, now go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you. See, once we have experienced the resurrection, once we have come, once we have seen, then we're commanded to go and tell. That's what he's saying. It's the angelic message is a call for action, folks. The angel said to the ladies, go, get on with it. Don't just stand here gawking at the empty tomb, get on with it. So I guess the question is, are we living as though the Lord is risen and living within our hearts? Are we sharing the message that he lives with others? See, we're to take the good news that the tomb is empty, that Jesus lives. We're supposed to take it everywhere. The message of the resurrection calls for action. It's just not a nice thing to remember. We're to engage in the work of the risen Lord. He said, the angel said, go quickly and tell. That word quickly means without delay. So it's one thing to sit in here and listen to the word of God and sing the songs and just hallelujah and fellowship together and go afterwards. And by the way, pick up some food back there and take it with you. But I mean, that's one thing. That's great to be fellowshipping together. But what do you do when you leave this place? Are you saying, well, that was church, now let's go back to the world? No, we're supposed to take the church to the world, folks. It's an urgent message because people are dying. Thousands die daily without knowing the Lord. It's urgent that we reach them with the news of the resurrection. It's urgent that they know that he lives and that they can live also. People are dying. People are also deceived. There are so many people deceived. They worship gods that don't exist. They've been blinded by Satan. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Folks, the only hope they have is hearing the good news of the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It is a unique message. You know what? I've looked, and I'm sure maybe you have too, but the bodies of every deceased leader and founder of every major religion in the world is in a tomb someplace. But you can search every tomb in Israel. You can go anywhere in Galilee. You can go anywhere else looking for the bones or the dust of Jesus, and you won't find it. You know why? He's alive, folks! We know our Lord lives, and it's our duty to take the gospel to those who do not know the Lord. That's what Mark 16:15 says. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. Don't leave anybody out. When I was in seminary, I had a guy that used to go and preach to the trees. Because it says, preach to every creature. So he would go out and preach to the trees. And I asked him one time, why are you doing that? He says, I'm just practicing. Sooner or later, somebody's going to walk by and I'm going to preach to them. Listen, we are to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are dying. People are deceived. And you know what else? People are discouraged. That's why the angel said, go quickly and tell the disciples. They were despondent after the crucifixion. They hid behind locked doors in fear. And it was vital that the message be shared with them so that it might be, so they could be stirred from their depression. In fact, in one it says, go tell Peter too. Because remember, Peter denied the Lord three times. And Peter was terribly despondent and wept bitterly, it says. See, the Lord lives. He promised it, he fulfilled it, and it happened just like he said it would. People who don't know the Lord have no hope, and they need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a message that should bring hope to all who hear it and receive it by faith. Now verse 7 says, go quickly, tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples the word. Now, these ladies who heard that from the angel, go tell the disciples. Come and see. Then go and all of those things. That was a wonderful, wonderful message of the angel to them. And it had some great promises. He says, the angel said, he's going before you. We can spread the news of the risen Lord because he's out there with us. And he goes before us and prepares the way for us. He walks with us. He guides us because he lives in us. And we can accomplish great things through him. He said in John 14, 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. I've often thought, what in the world is he talking about? How many greater things can we do than what the Lord Jesus did? We can preach the gospel to the whole world. The Lord preached in Galilee, in Israel. But when he gave the command to his disciples to go into all the world, that's something greater than he was doing. That's amazing. He's working ahead of us. He goes with us, and he enables us to do his will. And then he goes on to say, the angel says, there you shall see him. They ran to spread the news. They wanted to see the Lord Jesus, and it wasn't long until they ran right into it. Verse 9 says, and they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by his feet, and they worshipped him. You see, one day, folks, one day, we're going to see the Lord face to face. We serve him with gladness and joy today because we know that we're going to see him in glory one of these days. Amen. Paul said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know, even as I am also known. So we serve with joy and gladness today because we know we're headed to heaven. And when we get there, we're going to see the Lord face to face. That's what Paul said. We are confident, rather, well pleased to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Folks, that's the greatest news that I have ever heard in my life. That God loved me. That he died for me. That he rose again. He would save me if I came to him. I wonder, have you experienced that? Has there been a time in your life when you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you ready to meet him? Does the Lord live in your heart? If he's calling you to come to him, you need to come. We don't have a long time. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time, he says. And if you ask him, he'll save you. Now, I know we have a large group here today. And maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart and you don't know what to do. Well, you can come see me after the service. I'd love to sit down and talk with you. I'd love to share the good news that I heard lots of years ago that changed my life completely. So if you're saved, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I living like I believe the resurrection? Am I? How long has it been since you thanked him for being alive in heaven and thanked him that you're alive? Listen, because Jesus lives, we can have our sins forgiven and washed away forever. Because Jesus lives, the grave has no power over the believers. Because Jesus lives, eternal life is our present possession. Because he lives, I never have to take a step in this world alone. Because he lives, there is hope, there is help, and there is a home in heaven waiting for all eternity.